702. Weekend Breakfast with Googs Mhlungu. Standing in for Refilwe Mpaganyani on 702.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
DSTV.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
702. Let's walk the talk.
22 minutes before 8 o'clock. Welcome back to Weekend Breakfast on 702 with me, Googs Mhlungu. As mentioned, for our sustainable living conversation, we're looking at how the energy crisis in South Africa, and again, we are all bearing the brunt of the issues at Megawatt Park, but how this particular energy crisis has had a disproportionate impact on poorer communities. You may have heard of the term load reduction. Many people have asked why we only see load reduction, for instance, in predominantly peri-urban or township areas. And there's been interesting research that's been produced by the University of Joburg's Center for Sociological Research and Practice. It's titled Energy Racism, the Electricity Crisis in South Africa. And to speak to us about this research, we're joined on the line by senior lecturer and director at the Sociological Research and Practice practice at UJ, the Center for Research and Practice, at Dr. Trevor Ngwane. And I'd like to also hear from you. Are you in an area that's been affected by load reduction? What has that experience been like? But also, if you ask questions, because I know at the beginning when load reduction was first announced, a lot of people asked why it seemed as if only certain areas were targeted for load reduction in addition to load shedding. And we didn't seem to get a satisfactory answer around that. So we'd love to hear from you and your experience of load reduction. You can call us on 011-883-0702. Dr. Ngwane, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning, Gugu. Good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much for making time. So when we look at this research, I'm quite interested to start with the idea or the term of energy racism. When we speak of energy racism, what do we mean?
Well, you know, as researchers, when we conduct research, we also use theories and find concepts which best describe, capture, crystallize, you know, our findings. And then we found that energy racism best captures the, the injustices and hardship suffered by the black working class and the poor in the provision of electricity,
mm-hmm.
because they seem to suffer, to bear the brunt, you know, of the burden of the electricity crisis.
Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying is we are all, for instance, especially over the last couple of days, we are all impacted by the energy crisis and the inability to have a constant power supply. But what you're also saying is that there are areas that seem for whom that energy crisis is more severe. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. For example, you mentioned Google load reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So load reduction is a form of load shedding, but it's targeted at black working class areas, townships, shack settlements, and villages. You know, they never target Sentinel or Constantia or Umhlanga Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you were looking at the impact of load reduction, was it that those particular areas would have load reduction and they'd also have load shedding?
Exactly. So when we're all complaining about load shedding, they get it. And then when we are relaxed and saying, hey, you know, it's so good, nice weekend, but the people in Soshanguve, in Kukuletu, are having 4 hours spares of load reduction.
And in terms of this kind of this inequality, because we know South Africa is a highly unequal society, the World Bank says we're the most unequal society in the world. In what other ways do we see this inequality with regards to how we are experiencing the energy crisis? So are we seeing, for instance, some areas paying more but getting less power? Are we seeing an impact, for instance, on quality of life because of the energy crisis?
Yeah, I think the real problem is the impact on the quality of life because, you know, when there's no electricity, we found in the research, the whole household, you know, maybe the whole household suffers. You know, the pensioner is shivering in the dark. Students cannot participate in remote learning. There is disruption, people, domestic systems, cooking, health, nutrition, time and livelihood. So in a way, you know, this disadvantages people and reduces their quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is quite a big problem, and it has a huge impact on people's lives as well.
How has load reduction been experienced, for instance, per province? And then I'd like us to a bit later on get into Gauteng, because obviously that's most relevant for us. But are we seeing, do provinces experience load reduction in the same way?
There are differences, but I don't think they are significant, you know. But of course, you know, Gauteng and Western Cape are leading, and then other provinces follow. But I don't think so. It's for example here, it's Free State, KZN, Limpopo. Yeah, so it's not so significant. Eastern Cape seems to get less load reduction, you know. Yeah.
And specifically in Gauteng, which were the areas that were most affected by load reduction?
Well, certainly Soweto. And strangely enough, within Soweto, there are certain townships which suffer more load reduction. For example, Bramfish, Saville, Dobsonville, and Midland keep on being load-shedded because they appear on different load shedding schedules.
Mm-hmm.
But also you get load shedding. So remember, many black towns are provided electricity directly by Eskom. So those are the people who actually suffer load reduction because they are switched off by Eskom. Whereas if you are under city power, you know, it's city power who would cut off your
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so does the research also look at, because there was, again, when we started hearing the term load reduction, many people were saying that it doesn't sound very different to load shedding. And I wonder if the research looks at the definitions or the, is there any difference between the two?
Yeah, well, remember, load shedding is basically a planned power failure. You know, what it means is that Eskom feels that, hey, I don't have enough supply, so which areas must I switch off in order to make sure that the grid doesn't collapse? Because if there's more demand, the machines cannot handle it. And then, according to Eskom, load reduction focuses on areas where there's overcrowding, where people are not paying, where there's illegal connections. So in a way, it's almost like a profile of black working class areas, because, you know, people in Sandton, I'm sure they pay, or there's no, I don't know, illegal connection. There's no overcrowding at Mshanga Rock, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in terms of how the research was conducted, how did that work? Was there a survey? Did you go and speak to people in those areas? You mentioned some of them that seem to have been more affected by load reduction than others.
Well, to get a national picture, we actually looked at Eskom's own announcements about load reduction. So Eskom does this, for example, through its Twitter system. Remember, Eskom periodically tells people load shedding is coming. You know, there are various ways it does this. So, for example, their Twitter account is quite comprehensive. So it lists every day this area is going to be load reduced, load shedded, etc. And then we also did what we call door-to-door research. We went to Soweto, to various parts of Soweto. We also sent some people to the East Rand, but we're focusing on Soweto so that we could get a closer, deeper understanding. Yeah, but and then we went door-to-door, and then we found that, you know, actually it's amazing. So load reduction accounts for 87% of power failures, 87%. And load shedding, only 1%. Cable theft, only 1%. Power supply interruptions, only 1%. Outages, 8%. So in other words, you know, if you suffer load reduction, you are suffering the most, you know, from this electricity crisis.
So with those numbers, when you say that load reduction accounts for, you know, that number, does this mean, given the times that people don't have power, load reduction was the leading reason for that? How do we measure that, or how did you measure that number, that load reduction accounted for this number, outages, cable theft accounted for these numbers?
Yeah, that's why we had to go and look at Eskom's records and announcement, because for the consumer, you never know why you don't have electricity. You know, one day they say load shedding, the next day they say load reduction, the next they say cable theft, the next they say, you know, the coal is wet, if you know what I'm trying to say. So we had to find out from Eskom, you know, what are the reasons for specific areas not having electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found load reduction is overwhelming for power failures.
Mm. One of the other things I thought was quite interesting in the research is that it also kind of attempts to paint a picture of the households that were sampled, and to give an idea of what kinds of households were most impacted by load reduction. What can you tell us about the households in the survey? What did the research learn about those households?
Yeah, so what we found is that these people are working class people. In other words, they are not business people. Many of them are unemployed. Many of them are pensioners. Many of them rely on the social grant. You know, even if there is someone working, it should be one person working in a family of four or seven or eight. And then there's a balance between men and women. Most households have got some youth, school-going children, or even university-going children. And some households, because, you know, in Soweto, we still have these big yards. So they'll have back rooms and they rent out space. Although we found that when there's a problem of power failure, people lose their tenants. And then, you know, so we found so many things. For example, you know, elderly people need their fridges, their refrigerators to keep their medication. We found that small business people, some of the most frequent small businesses are catering, so people can no longer sell bake, you know, fed cooker because of load reduction. We also found that people are now using unclean forms of sources of energy, such as paraffin. Women are kind of endangering their life, going out into the field to pick up firewood. So we, you know, it was a rich, you know, finding from this research. It's amazing. We can't really hope to, you know, present to the public all the ins and outs. But, you know, for once, someone, a researcher, which is us in this case, in this instance, was interested in how, you know, the electricity crisis affects ordinary people. Because mostly you'll hear government leaders, big business leaders, university professors talking about the economy. You know, they never talk about how the gawk or at the corner is affected when there's load shedding or load reduction.
Dr. Ngwane, a point that keeps coming up by SMS, but also I think in the conversation around load reduction. So, for instance, we got a WhatsApp message from Jenny here saying load reduction is mainly in places where there are illegal connections. Another one saying townships are areas with many illegal connections, and that's why they're most affected by power failures. All places face electricity problems of one form or another. When I think load reduction was announced, I remember seeing one of the tweets from the Eskom account. That was one of the reasons that was given, is that load reduction will be carried out in areas where there are issues around illegal connections. And I think they may have used the term, and I stand to be corrected, of the overloading of the grid. And does your research look at this issue that the power utility has communicated that load reduction is important because of the issue of illegal connections? Does the research look at the issue of illegal connections and whether or not there is this link between those and then Eskom carrying out load reduction?
Yes. Yeah. So that's the thing with racism, you know, Kuku, because, you know, you can, you know, pass laws against it, but it finds ways of coming back, you know, in hidden disguised forms. Can you see? So, for example, in the USA, we had this Black Lives Matter, you know, movement where, you know, black people, they realize that they are being targeted by police. Can you see? So you could conduct research to show that actually, you know, black people are criminals. But, you know, when you look at the outcome, the people who bear the brunt of police brutality in the USA is black people. Similarly, in South Africa, you know, one could explain, for example, the fact that we still have what I call apartheid geography. So you get many black working class people still living in those areas which were built by colonialism, by apartheid, you know, the elokshini, the location. Location means native location. Yeah. So there are those continuities with the past. And then, of course, also another point to make, besides these continuities, you know, because remember, continuities are also continuities of inequality. And then inequality, poverty coincides with race, coincides with class, coincides with gender. So you get that, you find that, you know, black working class women are the poorest in the country. But another important point here, Kuku, which may is a decisive argument against this way of thinking, is that if you live in Soshanguve or in Tanzania and you are a middle class person and you pay your electricity, you know, you do everything, you don't have illegal connection, but when there is load reduction, it's a kind of blanket punishment. It doesn't distinguish whether you pay or not, whether you are stealing electricity or not, whether you are a good citizen or not. You are just in the dark because you live in a black working class area, you know, a product of apartheid geography. So that is the issue. That is why we call it energy racism.
And unfortunately, Dr. Ngane, we are out of time. I did want to just spend a little bit more time just figuring out if there was this, you know, the research looked at the issue of illegal connections, whether that came up in the research, whether there are illegal connections in the areas as mentioned, because that has been repeated as the rationale. But unfortunately, we are out of time. And I must thank you for making time for us this morning.